All aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany.
That was the easiest soundtrack.
Good.
Okay, so before I jump in.
Yeah.
Can you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, it's Kollwhite.
Kollwhite.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. It's German?
It is. My grandfather was born in Berlin.
Ah, very.
And then they emigrated to Wisconsin in 1888. He was 8 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
He was almost 20 years older than my grandmother.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so he comes from another...
So your grandfather moved to Wisconsin?
Yes.
Oh, that's a pretty close... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. To Kenosha.
Oh, I know Kenosha.
Do you know Kenosha?
Yeah.
Okay.
I lived in Wisconsin for 3 years.
You
so.
Did? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I love it there.
It's great. And then he went to Madison and then moved to Minneapolis and had the fateful encounter with my mom, who's from Duluth.
Oh, very cool.
And that's where we're going on Thursday.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's right, because you have a little trip. Oh, you're going to have so much fun. Pack it all in while you're here, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I have the name George because my grandfather from Berlin was named George. My father was named George. My parents had 4 daughters before me, and they needed to recycle that name with
I
the fifth
love
daughter.
It. That's so beautiful.
So I'm the boy of the family. That never was.
Were they hoping for a boy?
Mm. That's why they kept trying. And then after me, they were like, forget it. No more kids. So I have the had to feed.
Because you have, what, 5 girls in your
5
family?
5 daughters, yeah. I'm the youngest of 5 sisters.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. Okay. So, and you go by G, is that right?
Well, in Italy, I go by G. Here in America, I grew up people calling me Gigi.
Okay.
But Gigi is short for Luigi, which is a boy's name, strictly a boy's name. Whereas in France, Gigi is for females. But in Italy... Every time I would say Gigi, everyone would laugh in my face. Ah, Gigi, like, you know,
like a
truck
boy.
Driver, like a boy.
Oh.
So when I signed with BMG Sony, they said, we got to figure this out about your name because George Ann's too long. Gigi's a boy's name. And so they cut it off to G. And so in Italy, they know me as G, G-I.
Okay.
Yeah.
That clarifies a lot because I thought I heard your sister call you Gigi.
That's
and
right.
Then you introduced, yeah.
Yeah.
So we got the name stuff cleared
great.
Up.
Okay, yep. good. Okay.
All right. So, well, thank you so much for coming on. It's really fun how I met you.
Yeah, very.
Which was at a holiday party.
Right.
And I met you and 2 of your other sisters, which, by the way, you are all so talented, which is...
Well, thank you.
So cool. How did all of you sisters become so creative?
Well, probably in part it was how we were brought up by a mother who had been a stage actress.
Oh,
and then she quit it all to have all these kids and like 5 children in 7.5 years. So
wow.
Bang, bang, bang. She was a bit older too for that time. And then she, when I was probably about 8, she went back into modeling and print work and voiceover stuff. So
oh,
she,
cool.
And she always made it a point to take us to see theater. So we were, you know, at the Institute of Arts a lot. We were coming in. We lived on Lake Minnetonka.
Oh,
but
yeah.
My parents had, you know, season tickets to the symphony. And we were just used to going to see theater and music and the arts. So we were brought up that way.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
I noticed. I was like, oh, all of you women are very talented. And so, okay, so you got into, now was it, were you always a singer, musician? Because what I read on your bio, you said that you went to school for like art.
I did.
Yeah.
I, as they say, kind of tripped into music. I was musically inclined because I played the saxophone all through my childhood, like from age 10 to 18.
Oh, I
and
love a saxophone.
I do too. Yeah, I want to pick. I still have it. It's like all the pads are rotten, but one day I will fix it and play it. And whenever I get my hand on one, I have fun playing it.
Very cool.
So, no, I got into singing just kind of for fun, out of a joke, really. I was teaching English at a night school where I taught for many years. And the guy who ran these evening adult language classes was like, God, you've got such a low, raspy voice. Why don't you come for fun? And we do all American music, all covers. And he had two women singers. And it took 1 hour of singing with me just for fun.
Yeah.
That the two singers are like, we're going to be your backup singers. So I was like pushed to the microphone, had a lot of fun. And then I just kept doing it just for fun. And then years later, I signed with BMG Sony. And I actually got into the big time and spent 4 years in that world.
Wow.
But I did go to Italy to study art history, which was my minor at the University of Minnesota, fine arts degree.
Okay, so you went to Italy for art.
I did.
For your, and then
I went
you,
to study art history in Florence.
And then you got stuck there. Did you think you were going to be there forever?
No, but then I got back to Minneapolis and felt like, gosh, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And I had met friends, luckily, a guy who was studying, I think he was doing his master's in math at the University of Minnesota. So that when I went over to study there, which I had already planned before meeting him, He integrated me into his world. He comes from near Venice. And some of those friends I met back in 1986 are still my friends.
Oh, wow.
So he really indoctrinated me to Italy. And so thus, I had the opportunity to rent his parents' apartment in Milan in 1988 when I finally said, I'm moving back there. So I dropped everything. Still had a year left of college. My parents were like, what the hell? They're like, we're not paying for anything. I'm like, you don't have to. And I went over there and started teaching English and worked, you know, as an English teacher and in the arts, moreover, more than anything. And then probably in about 90, right after I went back, I came back here to finish my degree in 89 for like 6 months. And then 90 went back. And that's when I started singing.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Very cool. And then,
in a nutshell.
And then how did you get... I guess, recognized and brought into.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, before I went, so that, well, then I got married. I got married to an Italian filmmaker and we moved to Los Angeles in 95. So between 90 and 95, I then I got into a funk band and there were 10 of us and those were the wild times. And we played at all the lefty social centers like the Squats and it was like, you know, Milan was very active musically. There were a ton of squats all over town. The city was kind of a dark ages of Milan. Everybody just working really hard and it was very permissive and very, very fun. And in that time I met two artists that hired me to do TV commercial jingles singing.
Oh my gosh.
And then we made an album together that then MCA, the big MCA label, was their first time in Italy. They pulled it out from under the rug and that's when my previous husband and I said, screw Milan, let's move to LA. And we got married, we moved to LA.
Oh wow.
Those two guys that I did all the TV commercials, in the 5 years I was in LA, became superstars in their electronic band. So that when I moved back, my marriage fell apart, and in 2000 I moved back to Milan, reformed my funk band, you know, just living a very humble life, and met up with those guys again, and they're like, we want you to be the singer of our new album. So, and I was like, okay, I guess I could do that. Had no expectation. I was like, oh great, this is gonna be fun. And
yeah,
but signing to a major label was a big deal.
Yeah,
I had to quit all my jobs. It was kind of a Cinderella story for me. Plus I was, you know, licking my wounds from the divorce and 10 years together with this guy. And but Milan embraced me, as she always has.
That's a good way to celebrate a divorce.
Yeah, exactly. A record label.
Yeah.
Signed with a record label. And then that project, to all our major surprise, we shot to number one, like overnight.
Wow.
So I got on this carousel ride for 4 years where I just couldn't get off because they wouldn't let me get off. And I dedicated my life to that for 4 years and made lots of music videos, big money. And then 9/11 happened and everything in the world of music crumbled. I'm sure it did here too.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I did from 2000 to 2004. We made two albums together.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm.
You know Brittany as a podcast host extraordinaire. Did you know she doubles as a gifted photographer? For weddings, businesses, headshots, portraits? Don't settle for a cell phone photo. Call a pro. For any of your photo needs, it's Brittany Photography. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
I was looking at all the videos you sent me, and I really loved the visuals. Do you have any input on any of that, especially with your art background and kind of creativity?
Yes, I do. After I finished with that band, I started doing my own music in English, whereas with the Italian electronic band, Delta V is their name, it was almost only Italian. And so I worked with filmmakers in the beginning that would just piece things together. And then when we went up to Stockholm, working with an Italian filmmaker over Skype at the time, we talked about a story together. So I wrote my first storyline, which was Hank Sauer. And so that was fun. And then he shot it. And then I wrote, directed, made all the costumes for the song that I had with my last band in southern Italy, where I lived until three years ago. And that song is called Seriously Furious, where I took the imagery from the Loteria Mexican cards. Do you know those?
Yeah.
And recreated the characters, brought them to life, brought the objects to life. And it was really, really fun. We shot it in one day, but it got the whole community involved. Everyone volunteered. It
was so cool.
A ball. And then I shot some imagery here in Minneapolis for another project I'm in. And that came out a year and a half ago. And that song was called Your Go-To. And it was very much inspired by my days when I lived and worked at the Loring Cafe.
Ooh.
Down on Loring Park,
yeah,
the original one where all the misfits worked.
Yep.
And so I cite the Uptown Theater. And so there's a lot of, even though I've been in Italy 33 years, there's a lot of Minneapolis in my music.
That's so cool. I love Minneapolis.
I do too.
Now, you said, do you have a project with people here as well?
No, nothing. Okay. I've never collaborated here, and I've never sung in Minneapolis. But I did have a tour a few years ago, and we played in New York, in Austin, Marfa, Texas, and Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh, you guys have to come to Minneapolis.
I would love to. I'm going to work on that. Now I'm working on my solo album, just recorded it a month ago. First solo album after three of my own albums.
Now you can have more control over.
I can have more control, and I've always been kind of a self-starter with my projects, always working with a lot of male musicians, and hey, might have my first woman bass player.
Yay!
For live concerts. So
that's so exciting.
I just recorded a month ago with a wonderful musician guitarist who is doing his second world tour on guitar and keyboards and backup with PJ Harvey.
Very cool.
And so he is now kind of introducing me to some other musicians that he thought would be better for me for my live stuff. So I will get right on the travel artist grants.
Yes.
And because that's how I got to America the first time, is okay. I won a grant.
Very cool.
4,000 euros in plane tickets.
Oh,
isn't
my
that
gosh.
Great?
Yeah. Grants are so nice.
They are. So we'll see. Maybe I will make it to Minneapolis.
That would be great.
I would love it.
Because how often do you visit?
It's now getting to be about once a year. Before, it used to be every 2 years, but then, of course, the pandemic. And I have a very aged mother. She's 93, so I've decided about once a year. She can't come. She used to come to Italy all the time.
I bet. Yeah. A reason to come to Italy.
Yeah. Which was great. So.
Like, oh, yeah. I know two of your other sisters live here.
Yes.
And then, did they all live here, or?
I have another sister, the oldest sister, who lives here in Minneapolis, and then one sister who lives in Sierra Madre, which is near Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So she's out there. She's found her way as a pet sitter, dog sitter, and elder care. So she loves it out there.
That's awesome.
Don't think she would like the weather here anymore.
Yeah. It gets a little cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, although this year has been pretty warm.
Pretty mild,
winter,
yeah.
Now, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, or Italy, which one's your favorite?
Italy.
Of course, because you're still there.
I'm still there, and it's weird when I come back, I feel so good here. I feel grounded. I feel bonded with nostalgic things. But, you know, I've built my life there. You know, community, work.
Absolutely.
I also try to work in voiceover myself. And I'm a translator. So I translate anything from the worlds of architecture, design, fashion, and books, narrative, art catalogs. So,
Very cool.
I could do that anywhere.
Yeah.
But the networking in Milan is important for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I do love Italy, and I'm fluent, and I've been there more years than I've been here. So I get to the end of my long stay here, and I realize that this is no longer my home.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. It's bittersweet.
Oh. Well, you'll always have a little piece of home here.
Yeah.
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 And it's like your second home.
I'm a big advocate. I speak very well about the music scene that at least I grew up in. My God, there was so much going on.
Do you want to drop any names of any influences? Or?
Of course. I mean, the Jayhawks and Soul Asylum. I mean, as a university student, like, we were out every other night seeing music. The Uptown Bar. There was always something to see. It was very vivacious and alive. And, well, of course, we were really young.
Yeah.
And of course, Husker Du and Grant Hart. And, you know, when any of these bands would come to Minneapolis, I would go and make a point to meet them and chat, and had a really nice chat with Grant Hart from Nova Mob not too long before he died, actually. So, you know, and of course, Bobby Dylan, and though he doesn't seem to have bonded much with Minnesota after he left, I think he kind of never came back.
Oh, I know, it's sad when those people do that.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, don't forget about us.
Yeah. Well, Prince was one who never forgot about it.
Exactly.
You know, and loved him too.
Absolutely.
You know, anytime you say Minneapolis, everyone immediately says Prince.
Yeah, anywhere. I'm sure even in Italy, people say it to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in Scotland once and somebody...
Oh, yeah.
In a thrift store working, I was like, you're from Minneapolis. Prince.
Perez.
Have you met him?
In a word.
Yeah, exactly. It's like everyone knows us around the world just from him. He made a name for Minneapolis.
He really did, or 3M, but Prince is the better one.
I think, yeah.
There's one one story about Prince. My sister and I lived above Rudolph's Barbecue. And we used to see his limo pull up and him like levitating into, they would lock the doors just for him and his friends.
Oh my gosh.
And we'd be like, oh, he's under there. He's under us.
He's under you.
The purple badness. Oh my
gosh, in the same building.
Yeah. That's
so cool.
Yeah.
Ugh.
In the heyday.
I know. Mm-hmm. I miss that. Rudolph's is gone. It's just so sad. Yeah.
You know, Minneapolis has changed a lot. Uptown is a shell of itself, I know, because of the riots that also broke my heart.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's not much. I mean, I have my nostalgia moments, and yesterday I had one. New Year's Day, needed some greasy spoon. I went to the Ideal Diner.
Ooh,
the Ideal. It's one of my favorite. Yeah, I took a lot of film. I took a lot of videos and photos yesterday. And so I have things that I love about Minneapolis.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Como Park Conservatory, we went the other day.
So fun.
And of course, art. I go to see every single museum while I'm here.
Yeah.
And I still have to make it to the Walker. I've got one more week.
So I know, you got to cram it all in.
Yeah, Mexican food and...
So speaking of food, I always ask, what is your favorite food?
In Italy?
Anywhere, in general.
In general, I love a good mozzarella di bufala or burrata. I'm a huge cheese lover. So burrata, you know, is it's a huge ball. And when you cut it open, it just kind of oozes out and melts out.
Oh, my gosh.
Cholesterol heaven, yeah.
But so is this something you just get in Italy?
Yeah, I bet you could get it maybe where there is in Italy. Do you know about Italy?
Uh-uh.
Italy is a huge, it's a huge food market. And it started in Torino And now there's one in New York. I went to the one in New York. There's one in Milan, so I'm there a lot. I think they would probably carry it.
Okay.
Burrata.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Burrata.
Burrata, right. And I know you have an Italian connection.
Yeah.
Your husband is Italo-Americano.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I know. So I got to learn more about the food and all of, yeah.
The food, it's, you know, Italy is, it is such a long, I mean, imagine it's the size of like Georgia and Florida. And there is north and south and there is a divide. Yeah. And there's prejudice. Mm. They are not a united country.
Oh, wow.
They're
okay.
Just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much to say about this. But the variety of food, even just 20 kilometers from each other, and the dialects are different. Just it is an incredible concentration of ritual and dedication to what the land has given up for these people and what they've done with it. I mean, it's amazing.
Very cool.
Fish, from fish to meat to cheese, risotto in the north. The south does more stuff. I mean, I lived in southeastern Italy for 9 years until 3 years ago, kind of off the grid, near Gallipoli. It's the heel of the boot, and they primarily eat horse meat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Equino. Yeah. They don't really even have cows down there. So.
Oh, wow.
And they don't like risotto because it's a northern thing. And so they're very, very proud and tied to their area, and and that's the way it should be. They uphold it. It's what unites the country is the food.
Though. Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the food from north to south.
Yeah.
But it is really an incredible country, and you need a lifetime to visit it, and I feel very lucky because in touring, I've seen it all.
Very cool. Yeah. That is on my list of places to go.
Yeah.
And Milan is known for its risotto, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now tell me, have you had risotto there and risotto here?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I make it.
You make it, okay.
I make it. I'm making it for lunch tomorrow. I have
friends
over.
Oh, I'm coming over.
Yeah, with gorgonzola.
Oh my gosh, so you perfect it. You're pretty good at cooking.
I am lucky because I've known many, many chefs.
Yeah.
And I learned to make it from a chef. And then I also worked as an assistant chef. In a restaurant in Lodi, not Lodi. Lodi is a half hour south of Milan. I lived 10 years there, and I lived on the river, the Adda River. And I worked in this little enoteca, which means wine bar, and the chef was also sommelier. So I learned so much working with him. Very small, just like 8-table osteria, trattoria. And so working and just watching him. I learned a lot. So, and I love to cook, and everybody loves to cook. So,
yeah.
A lot of friendships at this age. I'm 59. A lot of my friends, we have these like huge Sunday lunches that start at noon and end at 7 p.m.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And wine.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite wine?
I like a wine called Terrol de Gaulle, which is actually a mountain wine.
Oh.
It's a mountain red, and it's from up. In, you know, like Veneto, you know, the Alps cover, well, the Alps are, you know, north of Milano. And then when you go east towards Venice, you have the Dolomites. By the way, those are the most beautiful, that is the most beautiful mountain range in Italy. And that's what divides Italy from Austria. And that's where the First World War started. It took place there, and all the Alpine people, they're called, let's see, I can't think of the name, Alpini. They defended Italy up there in the Dolomite Mountains. So that's a lot of history up there.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of wine that is made up in the mountainous regions. So here in Minnesota, there's the Alexis Bailey Vineyard. Made from the grapes that suffer. Well, they suffer in Italy too. You know?
Yeah.
But there's so many great wines. Sardinia, there's another one, a real strong one called Canonao. And of course, in Puglia, there's Negramaro and Primitivo.
Ooh.
Every region has their wine. Montepulciano from Le Marche, Abruzzo. It is beautiful.
Wow.
It's beautiful. So come over to Italy. Come and visit me.
Yeah, I would love to. Drink wine, eat risotto.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I want to make one mention of one song that is truly about Minnesota, but about native Minnesota.
Ooh.
And it's called Wetutanka, which is the name for Big Island on Lake Minnetonka. And I grew up going there. We would actually even camp there by boat.
Cool.
And I spent a lot of time on the island later in, when I would go home to visit. And I met the guy who was the caretaker of the island. He lived out there all alone.
Oh, wow.
And had the duty of pulling out all the stuff that had accumulated in the cabins and in the main dining hall. So I went out and helped him dig through all this stuff and got very fascinated by the history, because that island was given to war veterans after the First World War, I believe. So,
wow.
Yeah, maybe a lot of people don't know the history of that.
Yeah.
But before that, it had been an amusement park. And so they're just remnants of it. Like any,
what?
Yeah, you didn't know that. There was the Excelsior Amusement Park. People would take the trolley from Minneapolis all the way out to Excelsior, and the cost of their ticket covered the boat passage in these paddle boats. And they used to sink these boats. Yeah, I grew up out there, so, you know, my dad was a big boaty guy, and so.
Whoa.
Anyway, there's just so much history tied to the island. And so Wetutanka means something, I can't remember the exact translation, but it was where they would tap the trees for maple syrup.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I wrote the song Wetutanka, and it's a spoken word. It's on one of my albums. It's on the album called Mulch. And I was very proud when I would tour to tell the story.
Aww.
And people are like, wow. So I'll send you the link to that.
I would love to see that. That is so cool.
It tells
cool.
the story of that. And so the amusement park was, it didn't last long. There was a big fire, and you know, a lot of big fires out there. Like all these big hotels that were on the lake, they all caught fire, and they rebuild them, and then they catch fire again. And just the feeling of the native that I always felt as a child growing up.
Yeah.
That history, and that's something we need to uphold more and more, and I'm really happy to see there's more awareness. I have a nephew that works at Uwamni, and they're just, I think it's time.
Yeah.
And that's something I feel a lot, very strongly, when I come back.
That
history and needs care and love now, you know, more
absolutely.
Than ever. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you single in the Twin Cities? Are you sick of Tinder, Christian Mingle, and OkCupid? Meet real people in real life, for real. Go to stassidates.com. That's STASSI dates.com. If you don't know how to spell dates, maybe you shouldn't be dating. Stassi Dates, the land of 10,000 dates.
So it's kind of interesting that you've never sang here in Minnesota. But right. Minnesota's been with you all around the world.
Oh, yeah.
You've educated people about the beauty of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, and I love talking about it.
Yeah.
And people seem to like the lore over there. And they, you know, because I do talk about also the unspoiled nature that Minnesota has up near the boundary waters, and that we really are lakes. It's a land that reflects the sky. It's just...
Yeah,
it's a really nice vibe here. There's so much space, and I just, you know, I think the city's really healing a terrible, terrible wound that, you know, we were all part of this. What happened with George Floyd? The whole world.
Yeah, the whole world.
It shifted everything.
Yeah.
And I just send really good vibes for the healing that is going on here.
Yeah, and there is a lot of healing, and more to be done.
Yeah.
It's wild.
A lot more to be done. Are you a native of Minneapolis? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And then your husband, he converted.
Yes.
He was from the East Coast, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Long Island.
Long Island. And how long have you had this podcast?
This is started in 2020. 2021, 2022, oh, nice. Something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
So during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Something to do. And who do you, I'm curious about you, who do you interview traditionally? Or?
So normally artists and entrepreneurs of Minneapolis.
That's
so
great.
Lots
so-
of them. And then also just some, like a few musicians or comedians that are here in town for a show.
Nice.
I'll catch them. And then I've had one off one where I found out I had a cousin from Norway. And
oh, really?
I had, I called him and had him on Zoom. But most of them nice. Are in person.
Okay.
Yeah. And my podcast usually is like this, except before this, we would have a meal.
Oh,
and
nice.
So again, or again, why I asked you your favorite food. But I kind of got rid of that point because I wanted to more focus on the stories.
Okay.
But also just talk about the food and not actually have it with us.
Oh, so. Nice. Well, I should have cooked for you.
Oh.
I should have made you something.
Oh, no. That's okay. I
found the burrata.
Yeah. No. It's maybe someday I'll get to try yours.
Maybe you need to come to Milano.
Yeah, I would love that. Definitely. Now that I know, I'm going to have to come, like, because it's already on our list of places yep. that we want to go. So we'll make it a point.
I would love to show you around.
Yeah.
And, you know, Italy's small. You can do a lot just in northern. Like, you can go to Venice for a night. It's only a 2.5 hour train ride from it. In an hour and a half, you're on the Mediterranean Sea in Liguria, Genova. 3 hours, there's a bullet trains now, so you can be in yeah. Rome in 3 hours.
Oh, that's nice.
When I first got there, it was like a 6 hour
oh.
train. It was like a big deal to go to Rome. Now you can just zip there, we even need, in the day.
We need a bullet train here.
Yeah, you need a bullet train, but at least you have a trolley, I saw.
Yeah, well,
Metrolink.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, it's not.
It's not like the best, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
And it's the spaces are so big here. And like in a city like Milan, it's so concentrated. They yeah. just like built, they're just finishing like the 6th subway line, which is nothing compared to a lot of like Barcelona being metropolises. But you can really live there without having a car. I don't have a car anymore.
I was going to ask you. Yeah, you don't have a car.
I okay. get around by bike.
Oh, very cool.
And they're getting better. There was the World's Fair in Milan a few years ago, and the city has really come along.
Oh, nice.
They're loving it back to life, and a lot of green spaces,
oh, cool.
and building a lot of skyscrapers, which is really weird.
Oh.
But it is nice, and yeah. It's becoming a more multicultural city as well, and art, lots of art,
yes.
really big. And the big fashion people are like in competition to build museums. So now there's the Prada Museum,
ooh.
Right? And the Pirelli that makes tires.
Yeah.
They have a wonderful museum in the old hangar where they used to build airplanes and stuff. And they put on some really, really... really meaty shows. It's free.
A perfect place for me to go visit.
Yeah.
I love all of that.
Yeah.
And I bet the fashion there is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the world comes to the city twice a year. Well, yeah, maybe more than twice, 4 times a year. So, and the design. It's the design capital.
Yeah.
Too. So,
Oh, so cool. Are you a big fashion person or? Sorry, I'm asking you questions while you're
here. It's okay. I mean, I know a lot about it because I translate for it.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, I'm a vintage lover, I like used stuff, and I like sifting through used stuff. So.
Same.
I don't buy any. I mean, I don't follow it in that I try to be up on it.
Yeah.
But when I was with the electronic band, we were sponsored by some pretty, like, Versace. So in some of the rock videos I made with them, I was wearing all this designer crap. But then at night, I was going to the Lefty Social Center with my combat boots. So, you know,
oh, my gosh.
I was in it and not in it. And then I was getting invited. I still get invited to wear the clothing and sit in the front row of fashion shows.
I love it.
Which is not my world. But
yeah.
I do it because, you know, it's
fun. It's an experience.
Well, it is fun. It's a weird, yeah. And, you know, living there, of course, they like me to be there. And I do know some designers. And I performed at the World's Fair in Dubai a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, which was really exciting to represent Italy. I'm not, but I am an Italian citizen and have been since 2004, so almost 20 years I've had a dual citizenship.
Gosh.
And I have a wonderful, I'm going to give him a shout out because he is one of my favorite designers, Alex De Benedetti. He lent me three beautiful, long, flowing, cool as ass dresses to wear for the three nights I performed there.
Oh, that
so that
is
was fun.
So
you asked,
cool.
So there you go.
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
And Dubai.
Dubai was weird. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's so new. It's a bit, it's a cross between LA and Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I think they've really overbuilt, but, and I don't really appreciate what they've done to the desert and creating all these artificial lakes. It's just a bit Disneyland. It's,
yeah.
And it's, of course, where there's a lot of money, but of course it was an honor to be there in the Italian pavilion.
Yeah.
And to feel like a bit of a minority, to see all these families pushing strollers, you know, from the Muslim world.
Yeah.
And it was heartening. It was really interesting. We need more of that.
Yeah, exactly.
See, you know, real life.
And they have some crazy things to see. I've seen like just videos of going around the city. It's just, whew.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It is incredible to be underneath the Burj. Can't remember the pronunciation, so I won't try, the tallest building in the world.
Yeah.
And then below it, though, it's a Las Vegas moment, all this, you know, water shows,
light
and water shows, and everybody sitting around watching it, and it just is so artificial that I guess I prefer the more authentic. I would, if I were to return to that part of the world, like Oman, I know someone who just came back from there, and wow, the cities are just ancient and really beautiful. So I guess I like history. Well, I'm an art history major, and I love history. So.
Which makes sense. That's
yeah.
why you would like that.
Yeah.
I feel the same. I love the idea of Las Vegas and seeing photos of certain cities, but then when I'm there, and it's also just, buy that, do this, do that, come over here.
Yeah.
And then that overwhelms me, but.
Yeah. Well, and Vegas also has exploded and become like a family destination. But as a child, it was not, and my parents would take us there. And you could go to Circus, which was one place. Kids were allowed in there, and that was pretty exciting. But my parents would totally dress up. Like, my dad would wear, you know, a suit and tie or tuxedo. My mom just do it up. And they used to, like, meet there. Like, my aunt and uncle from San Francisco, they would meet there for the weekend and do, like, the big cocktail generation thing, like, in the 60s.
Yeah. That's so fun. I also have a memory of being like 11 and my parents taking me to Vegas, and there's nowhere for me to go. And now it's so different. They would stop. Like, I'd always get the, like, you can't pass with that child.
You couldn't go into the casinos.
Yeah, I know. Like, you couldn't even get to your hotel because you had to cross through the casino.
Oh,
you had to, like,
you're
sneak
kidding.
Me in just to get back to the hotel. Oh. Just, you know, me and my sister went on, I got on our shoulders, big overcoat. No.
Oh, you're kidding. So
no.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, right? That would be fun. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so.
Time is up.
Yeah, so I appreciate you squeezing this in.
Well, thank you for having me,
Brittley.
I was honored you asked me, and I thought this was going to be kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I'm used to doing interviews in Italian.
Right? Now you don't have to. Now
let it rip.
I got to learn Italian. I actually do want to, just because of, you know, the history and stuff. I think that'd be great to be able to say some things in Italian. Get ready for when we want to go on.
I can help you with that. We'll stay in touch. We can do video lessons if you want.
I do that
all the time. I teach English sometimes to friends on Skype and stuff like that, or just conversation. So I'll set you
Very
up.
Cool.
Don't worry.
Yes, that sounds great. I have so much more to ask you. So, I mean, maybe even a Zoom podcast if you ever have time.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And Happy New Year to everyone here in Minneapolis and anyone listening anywhere else.
Yeah, and you'll have to keep us updated on when you'll be back and performing your
first
performance.
I'm going to work on that. Get that travel grant in place.
Exactly. Now that you have your solo album,
thinking forward,
you got to,
Exactly. I'm going to get on that.
Yeah,
so
for
I hope to see you next time. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. Grazie mille.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, show your support and join our Patreon team. Go to excelsiorp.com.